is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Welcome, everyone. Episode 13 of Road to the Draft. It's a pleasure to have your company, Nat Edwards, and Cal Toomey, our AFL.com.au draft guru, is with us as always. Cal, how are you?
Good, thank you, Nat. Good weekend. Saw some footy, some school footy. Lots of players back at school footy on the weekend, so it was good to get around and have a bit of a look at that.
You're always out and about, aren't you? How many games would you get to on a weekend?
Not as many as our guest.
That is true, and we should introduce our guest because it is great to have Brisbane Lions recruiting manager Stephen Knoll in with us. Steve, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me in.
Now, you've been in the job since 2012, I believe.
I started with the Lions in 2012. I spent the first couple of years working with Graham Hadley, and then Graham went part-time, went back home to Western Australia. So since then, I've been been in the chair as Graham was probably for maybe 6 years previously. So the two of us have had quite a reasonable stint.
And it's a recruiting, I guess, passage that a few people have taken since you as well. Obviously came from the Oakley Chargers originally, and it's become a bit of a pathway for recruiters off late from that talent manager role into recruiting. How did you sort of come about in that, your sort of what, right?
Yeah, I suppose there's a few synergies between the two roles. When my last year at Oakley, the Brisbane Lions drafted two Charger boys when I was at Oakley, Patrick Karnesis and Ryan Lester. And that was about the time the GWS team were forming. And I think Graham Allen and Paul Brody went from the Lions up to GWS. So there was an opportunity there, and I had a little bit of work done as Graham was preparing for that draft. And post-draft, he had a bit of a chat to me and went through the interview process, and it was probably a good time for me to move, and probably for the Chargers. Mark Smart took over from me, and he's now at the St Kilda Footy Club. So, yeah, both of us have moved into recruiting roles.
What can you tell us about what your role encompasses day-to-day, week-to-week, and how much footy you do see? Because I think most people probably wouldn't know how much work a recruiter does throughout the year.
Yeah, there's plenty of footy, Cal. There's no doubt about that. We're in WA on the weekend, so we saw some under-18 footy, some school footy, some senior football, and then that flowed on to some state under-15 championships, a chance for us to have a look at our Queensland kids at a young age. Half the Queensland team are with us, and half of that Queensland team are zoned to the Gold Coast Academy. So a quick look at them. And then there's plenty of vision during the week. Mondays tends to be a bit of a review day for us. So in the office we get together, discuss the weekend. We usually have a few players of sort of we've watched vision on the previous week that we discuss. Following on from that, Tuesday, we get all our complete vision from champion data. So Tuesday and Wednesday, we tend to have vision days. Thursday's a day where we all work at home. And then Friday, we tend to get back together and we're either travelling, preparing for the weekend, or through this period of the year, there's plenty of school footy on a Friday as well.
Do you get time to watch any AFL level footy in between all of the under-18s and 16s?
I try to watch a little bit. Occasionally I'll take my boys out to a game if it suits. I always catch our NEFL team and our league team at some stage. Not usually live, but at least off vision. But it's good in our role. It's really important that you see a little bit with the AFL, seeing how you've rated players previously and how they're going at that level, and also just seeing how the game's being played.
I guess in that respect as well, and that brings us to the next point, the addition of Dom Ambrosio this year as your list manager. Obviously, David Noble's come to the club too, who has some list management and recruiting background. It's a pretty experienced team now, isn't it, you've got there?
Yeah, it really is. So we had Peter Swab last year too, who's works in here now in the umpiring area, so we're fortunate to have some really experienced people come through the footy club. Chris Fagan as our new head coach. I think the club's going on, hopefully, on the right path. We seem to be showing some improvement. Our NEFL team, we've battled for a couple of years. We're having a really good year there. Our seniors seem showing some improvement. So, hopefully we're sort of on an upward path. And certainly the players at the footy club seem really happy and progressing well. We've got Scott Borlase has taken over our development coaching role, and he's doing a really good job as well. So, yeah, at this stage, it's a long way to go for everyone in the club, but I think everyone's positive.
You do come in at a good time on the back of a win. Always like to get a recruiter on the back of the win because a little bit more pleased and happy about how things are looking. We do want to have a look at last year's draft because they've already made a real impact at senior level. We'll start with the number 3 pick, Hugh McCluggage. What can you tell us about how you guys rated and assessed him throughout his draft year?
Yeah, I think what you said then with David Noble coming in last year, David and Swabby looked after the trade period, in consultation with the recruiting team. And we went from pick 2 to pick 3, and we also ended up with pick 16 in the sort of middle of the teens there. So we did that knowing it was a pretty – we thought it was quite an even draft. You know, Andrew and Tim went 1 and 2 and then Huey went pick 3. So we were confident that any of those three players would really be terrific acquisition to the footy club. But, you know, we were rapt that Huey got to pick 3. We really liked the way he played. He's a terrific young fella. He showed some enormous improvement through his 18th season where he'd come from. So, you know, you never really know pre-draft, but, you know, all the talk was he's probably going to get to pick 3, so on draft night we're really happy that he did.
He was quite vocal, I guess, publicly the early days that he would like to come to the Brisbane Lions. Did that surprise you that he was so vocal with that publicly?
Historically, that area has been a bit of a Fitzroy area, and, you know, Jonathan Brown played for his local club down that way, and we've drafted Louis Taylor from down there not that previously before. It was, you know, it's always good. We also had Benny Ainsworth that went to Gold Coast, and he was the next pick. And I think he was, you know, he'd said to Cal, I think in one of Cal's interviews, that he was happy to play for the Lions. Yep. So you're hoping young players looking at the footy club see some opportunities, some growth, and hopefully they're all seeing that we're on the right path. Certainly our development and our welfare areas have been, the resources there have been, you know, beefed up, and you just hope that the players are coming into an environment where they'll improve and they'll flourish. And, you know, I think most of the boys coming in are seeing that.
Have you seen a better year from a draft prospect as the one Hugh put together last year?
It was off the charts, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, it really was. He turned up every week. He played, you know, he could play mid, he could play high forward. Even the North Ballarat players played him deep at times, and he just kept, you know, just kept performing. And it was a long year for a boy who had missed a bit of the previous year, and he's quite underdeveloped physically, but he got through it, and he's showing those signs this year that he's sort of starting to improve. I shouldn't say improve. He's been really good all year, but you can see every game he's just showing little snippets of what he showed in his under-18 year.
You're on that tour, as I was, to America at the start of 2016 with the NAB AFL Academy, and he didn't do much on that tour because he was injured. He still came off a bit of an injury over the summer. What did you make of him then? Do you remember what your memories were of him at that point, to how that developed across the year?
Yeah, he was a quiet boy who seemed like he was really feeling his way amongst that company. But interestingly, like every time you saw him play, even at that level, those little snippets of things he did, you know, he always seemed to have time and space, and his decision-making was very good. And he just, you know, I wouldn't say that, I think we've spoken this previously about us maybe targeting country, because it wasn't so much that with him, but he just had the sort of, he was just a really likeable boy that you knew would hopefully fit in really well with our playing group.
You took Jared Berry at pick 19, and I guess last year he had a lot of injuries and we probably didn't see his best footy. Have you been surprised this year, I guess, by how well he's managed to transition?
Certainly his durability, you know, I think as you've mentioned, he missed a bit of footy in his 17th, in his top age year through some varying injuries. But, and the role he's played, like he really has been to a lot of centre squares for us. He's shown some application that, you know, most of those boys that play those roles need a couple of years in the system. I think Cal mentioned when we went away with that group, he was an outstanding young man. Like, he really showed some genuine leadership. He trained hard. He set an example for those around him. All the other players really looked up to him, and, you know, when you take those sorts of things away, even though he struggled at times with injuries and form in his top age year, we always, you know, we always rated him really highly, both as a player and as a young person. So to get him into the footy club, especially when we took Hugh, the fact that they're such good friends, it was a really good result for us.
Cedric Cox and Alex Willingham were both early selections as well last year. Was targeting some class an important factor for you? Because both those guys can really use the footy.
Yes, simply it was, yes. But I think after we had Jared and Hugh, we really wanted to target a couple of players that we thought would be able to help our ball transition and some class in the team. And interestingly enough, we in terms of just our pure talent rating, we had them around that area as well. So to get them both was worked out well. Cedric had some background with the two North Ballarat boys, so that was pleasing. And we really liked Alex as a player. Obviously broke his leg, and some of the statistical stuff you do on a very small sample with the stuff that we do as a footy club, he was really high for those small games he played. So when the medical team ticked him off and he got to that end of the draft, we were really happy.
Alex is a very good friend of our podcast. Sure. He came in last year while he was recovering from that injury, and he stayed with one tombstone, Callum Toomey. Have you heard the story about poor Alex's food poisoning?
No, I haven't heard this one.
Cal, what did you cook for dinner that night?
No, it was lasagna. And And he ate it, and everyone else in the house was fine. But
poor Alex had food poisoning from Cal lasagna. So
woke up in the middle of the night to him vomiting.
Anyway,
he recovered well, and now he's playing great footy and has had 20 touches in his first five games. So we'll move on from that. But how did you actually rate him, though? Because so many clubs obviously wouldn't have seen so much of him, and a lot of people wouldn't have seen much of him because that injury was so early in last year. And he had the, I guess, there was a knock on his running as well, which hasn't seemed to be an issue at AFL level yet either.
No, we went back, as we do. Look, we tend to, at the start of the under-18 season, go back and watch the kids in their 16th season through that carnival, trying to compare apples to apples somewhat. And then we just watched his early games. He watched a couple of his school games before he got injured. Yeah, there's always a bit of speculation, though, about the running coming back from injury like that. We were really pleased when some of his pre-season, when he did get back out and do some work with our senior team, how well he ran and the times he was doing. We do 3Ks at our club, and he was right up there with sort of the sort of levels that a lot of our mids ran. So, yeah, we were really happy with that.
You've got some exciting youngsters on your list. I want to take you back to the 2015 draft. Josh Shackey, how early did you settle on him in the season?
In terms of that we wanted to
that
select him.
That you wanted him. To
yeah,
select
like
him,
we,
yeah.
We were in the market for some key position players. We've seen with Josh's relationship with the club through his sort of when his father played for, yep. for the footy club. So we saw Josh play really as a 15-year-old and then through the 16s in that championship all the way through to his top age year. So we followed him really closely and we were always in the market to try to draft Josh. We didn't know where our picks would be, where he'd be obviously at the start of the year. But when it started to get towards the back end of the year and it all sort of aligned, we spoke to him and the family at length and they were both pretty keen. Both him and his family were really keen to come and play for Brisbane. So when it worked out draft night, obviously Carlton had to pick one that year. So when it worked out that they didn't take him, yeah, we were really happy to pick up Josh.
And clearly a boost that he re-signed recently as well for an extra couple of years. So he gives himself some more time to really hit his peak.
Yeah, I think as you know, we've seen it with a lot of those young key position players, that they take a little while, and he's going to be no exception, obviously. But he's a hard worker. He's got real pride in his performance. He's really popular amongst the team. So, yeah, I'm sure Josh will keep improving, and he's showing some really good signs now he's back in the league team.
What about Eric Hipwood? You took him in the 2015 draft as well. Has he, I guess, exceeded your expectations, and is he above where you thought he'd be at this stage?
Nat's a big Hipwood
fan. Yeah.
Nat's a big tennis fan. Likes the fact that Eric looks like Rough and Dull.
Yeah, he does.
He's a real ridiculous personality, isn't he, Eric? Look, in simple, yes, he has. He's you know, for a young boy to play with his, you know, he's not physically developed to really play that big key position role yet, but he's such a terrific athlete that he just finds a way to get the footy. He's very confident. He's pretty laid back too, Eric, so he doesn't, you know, he can sort of plays the game and then relaxes and gets ready for the next one without thinking about it overly and getting too concerned about who's playing on him and all that sort of stuff. He just gets it done. He did that as a kid, and I remember when he was in the AFL Academy, some of the people thought, oh, you know, didn't know how to take him at times because he was a little bit of a different character. But
we had the Sandra Bullock haircut, as one of our Twitter followers pointed out at one point.
We had a 3K when he was away in that AFL Academy, and he just stormed out and he blew up halfway through, and it was quite comical. But he just got there and he hung in there, and he plays a bit like that. He really has a go and he hangs in there, and he's a really competitive kid. So between Josh and Eric, you know, we're really hopeful we can build a really strong forward line around those two going forward.
And before we move on from the 2015 draft, what's your favourite Reece Matheson story from his draft year? Probably is there one that comes to mind? I mean, I've got plenty, but he's a character, isn't he?
Yeah, my favourite Reece story, and he got us at Combine, just his enthusiasm to play, you know, just his loyalty and his enthusiasm to play the game. He loves the game. He loves being around a footy environment, and he wants to make it, you know, he wants to make every post a winner. And I just love that about him, that, you know, he's obviously got some rough edges around his game, and he's a hard worker. He's a really clean ball handler. And, I just like watching him play. Just when you sit back and watch him in the stands, he's entertaining.
He's so animated. Everything about him is animated. We want to talk a little bit about strategy as well. Obviously, he came on board when the club had a bit of an issue with homesickness. It's fair to say the exodus of 2013 was a low point. But since then, have you had to focus more on character and guys who you can feel or can sense will stay? Or how much do you place on that when you're making a decision on a player?
Oh, I think we always go back to those years and you know, have to ask ourselves, you know, why we had such a large exodus of players. You know, it probably hasn't happened previously and to any club to have that in one year. We do, you know, but I think myself and Graham and everyone previously also, you know, really worked hard in that area, but it was just the way the club sort of went. I think since Greg Swan's taken over as CEO, there's certainly the resource in the football department have increased dramatically, and you know, hopefully we won't get there again. But saying that, yeah, we do. We spend a lot of time trying to ascertain where the young boys are at, where their families are at. I suppose some of it's very subjective, and then there's objectiveness with through profiling and psych testing and that sort of thing. You try to speak to people who you trust and relate to, whether that's the AFL Vic people that you know, friends, you know, teachers,
yep,
all those sorts of areas. So when you make a selection, you're at least confident that you've done the work and you sort of know where you sit.
Do you ask the question, how would you go moving to Brisbane, and can you sense by a kid's expression or answer how much he'd actually like it or how much he'd enjoy it or how much his mum would struggle without him and those sorts of things? Do you have to take all that into account?
Definitely, yeah. Yes. We certainly ask the question to the kids and the parents, and some of them are honest and really say, you know, the majority of young people all around the country, I suppose, their first preference is probably to stay home with their parents. There's a few that say, no, I'd love to move out and I want to start a life, want to make money, you know, want to be independent, but they can still do that and play for a club in their own state. So quite a lot of boys say that, and there's a few that are a bit more animated about sort of wanting to stay home, and then you've got to go through what are those issues. You know, are they a player of talent that you really want to push, or are there other players around that draft pool that you rate higher anyway? So we go through all those areas. But as a whole, there are very few people that we meet, either players or family members, who genuinely say, no, I don't want to go to Brisbane or I don't want to go interstate. I think the way the system is now, the kids go through 15s and 16s and 18s, and you speak to a lot of the boys quite regularly through that pathway. So you start to build relationships. So hopefully by that sort of draft end of their pathway system, they've got their head around it and you've spoken to the parents. So we're going through that process now, so we're starting to catch up with the boys all around the country. We've just been to Adelaide, we've been to Western Australia, we're just starting to the Victorian kids now. So yeah, and you know, I think the fact that the club looks like they're on the improve and there's a bit of positive feedback amongst the footy community, so yeah, it seems to be going quite well.
What kind of support is there for the kids that are from interstate? Obviously there's, you know, welfare managers and all the rest at the club, but what kind of support do they get?
Well, Andrew Crowell's just come across from the Players Association. He was based in Adelaide and to head up our welfare area, so he's done a fantastic job in the short term. He's been there, he's got a team under him that are very experienced. We've also beefed up our development program, because I think when it comes to retention and all those sort of areas, it's not just about welfare, it's not just about recruiting. I think the player development program comes into it. As I said, Scotty Borlase has taken over as our development coach this year and doing a great job. So I think all those areas merge together, and it's also about keeping the parents involved and then also getting your senior players and friends of the players up there that they can sort of start to develop relationships with and both enjoy their time there and hopefully see themselves flourish as players.
Of the other side of losing those players, with actually the summer picks that you got in have produced some pretty regular senior players. There are guys who are all playing in the senior team at the moment: Louis Taylor, Dan McStay, Tom Cutler, Darcy Gardner, Nick Robinson. Some of those picks have, you know, attained some of those players. So obviously that's becoming a pretty good draft as well. When you look at your list, what do you see as the next sort of pressing need or areas to bolster?
I think for us, we still need to get a bit more depth around our midfield. You know, the players in there. We've got some real talent in there with Zorks and Beams and Rocky and Jared Berry, as he mentioned, has been in there, but it's certainly an area that we need to keep developing. We've targeted some, as you said, some kids last year. Maybe Alex Witherden might go in there, hopefully, but certainly we've got some players around the square and some of those key position boys that are progressing quite nicely. So for us, we need talent, obviously, so that's the first key, but you know, I think in terms of that midfield build, it's still a goal for us that we keep.
It's quite a young side. Would you look at maybe adding some more experience from, I guess, in terms of the trade period?
Yeah, I think the club are really open to that. David Noble and Dom will progress with that as it sort of gets closer towards trade period and looking at what's available. And I think if the right mix is there, I'm sure the club will have a look at all those sort of avenues, because I think the clubs who have done well and progressed up the ladder, you look at Adelaide and Hawthorn and Sydney, they've had a mix of drafting really well and really smartly, but their trade stuff's been, you know, been first class. So I think you need both, and I'm sure the club will, as a club, will keep looking at both those avenues.
How do you view the class of 2017, Steve?
It's even, look, we, as I just mentioned, we're sort of looking for some midfielders, and I think the midfield group is strong and there's lots of depth in that area. In terms of, I think there's been a bit of media about who's going to be number one and all those sorts of things. I think there's not a real standout. I think it's one of those years where probably the back end of the year people will be watching eagerly to see who's standing up, but we're really excited about a lot of those boys at that top end and the different skill sets they offer and what they can bring to, well, predominantly our footy club.
Yeah. Cam Rayner and Luke Davies Uniacke are two guys who I would say are right amongst the top leading contenders for that number one choice. How do you sort of rate those guys?
They've both had some high end games and some other games where they've been a little bit up and down. Look, both of them are elite ball handlers. They've got strong bodies. They're competitive kids. They're both going to be great acquisitions to whichever club they go to. They've had difficult years in terms of their programs. They've had AFL Academy. They've had state footy. They've had school footy. They've had to go back to club footy. So in terms of their continuity, they've had to balance a lot of different areas. So, and they both seem to have handled it pretty well. They've got through. So they've got, I think Cam plays a semi-final this weekend for his school competition in the AGS, and Luke's got a couple more APS games, and then they'll go back and play the back end of the season. So I don't know if the Jetters will make the finals, but I'm sure the Dandenong Stingrays will. So Luke will have a bit more footy at the back end of the year.
How many guys do you think are in the mix now to be number one?
Look, there's probably four or five or six. Yep. Yeah, I think there's still a few in that mix around near there. There's some other boys who had some really good carnivals, and there's also some of those other midfielders in the mix that'll probably push up. And I think there generally is a couple of players over and above those that will push in.
Someone we've spoken a lot about on this podcast is Connor Ballenden. He's obviously one of your academy players. How have you seen his season to date?
Well, I think he's a little bit like those boys. He's had academy stuff. He's had our own academy plus the AFL academy. He's had state footy with the Allies. He's had our NEFL team. So he's had
very
a lot
busy
to balance as well. And probably that continuity for him has been challenging at times. He's played some good footy and he's played different roles, but I think he's another one that'll probably want to come home with some consistency, whether that's playing ruck forward, playing centre-half back like he did with the Allies. But he's got some strong traits to play at the next level, and I'm sure he'll progress through.
Looking at some of the academy players, there's obviously boys that are going to miss out eventually and not get drafted to an AFL club or not be picked up by the Lions. Is that often hard because they have spent so much time at the club, they've been in the program and you've obviously kept a close eye on them, and then for them to then miss out, is that hard to overlook them at the draft?
It is. It's really difficult. It's probably the hardest part of draft night in some ways.
Yeah.
First of all, working out whether you'll match the bid, and then secondly, yep, whether you'll take one of the local boys. You see how much work they go through, and when I was at Oakley, it's similar with the Charger boys. You really do forget how hard the kids work and how much they put into it, but there's only so many selections, and in the end draft night you have to have your list and you've got to look at your club needs, and sometimes they align with your academy kids and sometimes they don't. But what you're hoping is the academy is building the draft pool. And that's happened, the last couple of years for us, GWS, Gold Coast as well. There's players off those lists. Like, I think Josh Williams played for North Melbourne on the weekend. So some of those boys are progressing through to other clubs. So I think that's a win for the game and it's a win for the academy. So, if they don't come to us, you certainly, if you can push them through and get them drafted,
yep,
and I think it's certainly developing the draft pool for everyone.
So there's been a bit of talk, again, being close to the bottom of the ladder, about priority pick and whether the club would ask for another one again. Where do you see that discussion this year?
I certainly haven't been involved in any discussions with the club with that. Well, I think all of our discussions about us being as competitive as we can and winning games and, just trying to develop the young kids. We got one to the end of first round last year, I think, which really assisted us certainly in trade period. So, if we get one, I'm sure we can put it to use. But in terms of applications and things along those lines, it hasn't been discussed.
We've actually already got another first round pick, which if those people out there haven't looked at the indicative draft order, obviously it's tied to Port Adelaide's finishing position this year. How much flexibility does that give you around trade period as well, knowing that you're going to have this early pick, whether it's 1, 2, 3, and also this other one, you'll be hoping Port fall down the ladder as quickly as possible.
We've been watching a few Port games this year, yes, the corner of the eye.
It must give you a sense of, I guess, a strong hand going into trade period and then obviously hopefully into the draft.
Yeah, I think it gives everyone a bit of flexibility. I for one, not, you know, set on, you know, the early the draft picks essential. I think, you know, history says that he's one better than four and it's 10 better than 14. You know, on paper it is, but it doesn't always fall that way. And it certainly gives you flexibility, A, for this year, and B, if we decide to then move it into future picks for perhaps next year. So there's lots you can do with it. And we've got David and Dom in that area who are really experienced. So whether we use it this year or we trade it for two or we go back another year, it certainly gives us some flexibility and gets you involved in discussions through that trade week period.
We love father sons on this podcast, and you've got one, Lachie Harris. How's he progressing at the moment?
Yeah, going well. Lachie's captain at Caulfield Grammar. His father, Leon, actually does some work for our footy club. He's coming to our recruiting team this year. He's had a very strong background at AFL Victoria. So, yeah, Lachie's playing at, as I said, he's at Caulfield. He's also playing for the Sandringham Dragons. He spent a week up with the club in the July school holidays and did some training. He seemed to really enjoy that. He's popular with all the young boys up there. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes for him. He's had a lot of footy left to play. He's got two games left with Caulfield, and then you would think that the Sandringham Dragons got a pretty strong squad. So, yeah, I could imagine they'll sort of force their way to the back end of September yet again.
Another Caulfield grammarian, Cal.
Yeah, Cal would probably be pushing for him,
yeah,
ain't Cal?
As always.
He played pretty well in the weekend. He's played some good. He actually debuted at senior level in the VAFA a couple of weeks ago too with his brother, Ryan. Have you got any indication on where things sit with Tom Rockliffe's contract?
No, Cal, no, I wouldn't. I mean, that's probably, I'm not trying to pass the buck here, but contracts aren't really my area. I'm sort of more involved in the recruiting. He seems to have had a great year, Tom. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, you know, obviously I'd love to see him stay, but he's a free agent. So I'm sure all the parties will sit down through the back end of the year and discuss that. But he's had a really consistent year with the Lions. It's just been great.
Now, in recent weeks, Will Sutherland made the decision to choose cricket over footy. Where did you have him ranked in the draft pool?
You can tell us now. He's not.
Yeah, he's gone. No, so yeah.
He was a high end talent right up near the top end of the draft for us. I suppose at that end, we, as I mentioned, probably the midfield was a high priority for us. So, in terms of drafting him at that end of the draft, we probably would have gone more for a pure midfielder, but he was certainly a mix, that mix for the between those sort of five or six guys at the top end. He was certainly one of those.
And apparently very, very good for Scotch College on the weekend.
Oh, just rubbing it in.
yes, our guy was out there, said he was outstanding. Oh. So,
and I'll tell you what, I'm going to go and watch the Melbourne and Scotch game on Friday. There'll be a big crowd there. I hazard a guess that Will like playing in front of a big crowd with all his schoolmates.
It's a fantastic event, the game, isn't it? I think there'll be plenty out there. It's also, I think Marcelin and Pegs are on at the same time for the AGS semi-final. So there's a bit of footy at school land this Friday.
It's good. How much involvement has Chris Fagan had so far with you guys? Does he get involved? Is he interested about the draft? Or do you think it'll probably be something that steps up, you know, combine and after that?
Yeah, I think in terms of the coach's role, there's probably a bit more to do post-season, but you know, we have regular meetings as a footy subcommittee and we discuss areas of that, and I think Chris's background as a football manager sort of opens the avenues that he's been involved in a lot of the sort of stuff previously. He's always keeping tabs of where it is, but yeah, there's a fair bit on being a senior coach when the season's on, so yeah, I'm sure that's his first priority. But you know, in terms of once the season concludes and into trade and into combine and all that sort of stuff, that's where the coaching staff get more heavily involved.
Now, Steve, whenever we have guests of the recruiting nature into the studio, we like to ask them some pretty stock standard questions just to get their opinion on a few things in terms of the wider under-18s landscape. So the first one is, if you could change anything about the draft and the under-18s system, what would you do?
So I had a discussion with the school forum about this the other day, just about they must have been putting a paper together on changing the draft age to 19, and some of the kids were a little bit more articulate than myself, and they put up some good arguments. I actually like the draft age at 18. I think throughout my time at Oakley, I saw a lot of boys, you know, they're outstanding, their ability to mix their studies with their footy and then progress on with their football. So I quite like the age staying at 18. I think the majority of kids do year 12, and I know that's a challenge, but most of them, it makes their time management quite strict and their discipline, and they seem to get through it quite well. So, look, I'm one to keep the draft age at 18, and the championships progress along. Like, it's a really important part of the year. You just, you know, it's really good to see the best kids play against the best kids, and as long as the selection's kept tight and we get the best kids against the best kids, I like the way the pathway and the system's going at the moment.
Live trading of picks and players on draft night? Yes, no, why?
I'll look forward to it coming in. I think the live trading of picks, you think that's the next progression. Players, well, that might be a little bit further away. That I think there's the AFL looking at the moment. But I think picks seems to be the next progression, and you'd support that.
It'd draw out the broadcast. It'd be so long-winded. We'd have to start, yeah.
Yeah, the Adelaide one took a while. They didn't have that, did they? That was...
I nearly fell asleep. Any tips for aspiring people who want to break into the recruiting industry?
Oh, I think first of all, you've got to have a really strong work ethic. I think it's a demanding role. Like you do, it's a bit of a 24/7 sort of role. You've sort of got to be prepared to travel a lot and spend a lot of hours outside of the work time, either watching vision or following up with players and seeing clubs. So, but it's an industry where you work with terrific people, both with your own club, with members of other clubs, and also with the general footy community. So, yeah, if you love your footy and you've got a strong work ethic, and you're prepared to sort of start, it's people sort of forget you've really got a lot of people have to start at the bottom and work their way up. So, if you're prepared to do that and do the yards, it's a really rewarding industry to be involved in.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your precious time with us. We've given you a break from watching Vision today. But I'm guessing you're probably going to have to go back and watch some more tapes.
Watch a little bit. We had a bit of a delayed flight coming in last night, so we got in quite late from Perth. So we look forward to going home, actually, I'll go back to the office for a while and head back and see the family after being away for a few days.
Well, we do appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Before we go, of course, it is time, though, for Cal's Song of the Week.
Like that little stinger, Steve. Pretty good, isn't it? Made especially
going
for this
well.
Now, the song is "The Louvre" by Lorde, produced by Flume, Australia's own.
Lovely.
So obviously, Lorde from New Zealand, Flume from Australia, a bit of a trans-Tasman link.
We're going to
see Lorde later in the year. Really good dance song.
Is it about the museum in Paris?
Yeah, and have you been to Paris recently? Have you?
Yeah, I did actually a few weeks ago. You want to hear about it again?
Not again. No, it is about that. So it's just a cool song. Steve thought I was going to bring up Sweet Caroline. I've got a reputation for quite enjoying that song.
Yeah, I've heard. Is he a good singer or not, Steve?
I wouldn't say that, but he does a fine rendition of it.
Maybe you're a good entertainer, Cal. You'll have to treat us to that on the podcast in a few weeks' time.
Thanks for coming in, Steve. Really appreciate it. I think all the Lions supporters will have enjoyed the listen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you again next week on Road to the Draft.